Happy Throwback Thursday, all you cool cats and kittens. The Devil Advocates are back for a TBT. We haven't done one of these in a while. For various reasons, and you probably heard about it on our regular pod that dropped on Monday, that I was suffering from and then recovering from COVID-19. And that's why we kind of went off schedule. Also, there were obviously social distancing considerations and stuff like that. You know that if you listen to our pod that we released on Monday. But this pod is kind of just the scraps checking back in with some other issues that we talked about, like all the rest of our TBTs, which you should have been listening to before now. So since we were gone, everything went to shit. Pretty much every prediction that we made in the first COVID podcast kind of came through with a vengeance. But one thing that has nothing to do with COVID did happen, and that's Dave Chappelle's Kennedy Honors Mark Twain award was the kind of the doc that they did on it was released on Netflix. Famously, one of our most popular episodes was the Dave Chappelle Is He or Isn't He Canceled episode, in which we very much struggled with it, and I don't know that we got a consensus about whether or not he should be considered canceled. We definitely believe that a lot of what he does is problematic, and we don't know that his apologies and cognizance of it had been sufficient, and then the Kennedy Awards happened. When did you guys check it out? When did you guys listen to it? Or watch it, sorry.
It was like last week.
Yeah, last week. Yeah. I watched it twice.
Why'd you watch it twice?
It was really good. It warmed my heart. It kind of made me kind of double down on my opinion from when we first did that episode.
Now, double down on which one? Because you famously took both positions during that pod.
Actually, she does all the positions.
I do all the positions.
You were like the Kama Sutra of Chappelle positions.
Well, double down on the fact that he is a genius.
Motherfucking genius.
He's a genius. He's a great mind.
It starts with the words. It starts with the words. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of all time. That's how it starts.
And he has Morgan Freeman. Now,
what do you think about that?
No, that was one of the funniest things. Is like, maybe if you get like Morgan Freeman, I'll do it.
Is he the greatest of all time?
I think so.
I would think 100%.
Absolutely.
I think there's no question. I just don't think people
are, and not just
going to want to say it they don't want to like downplay all the other geniuses. But you know, I don't think there's any moment in anything that a joke really ever failed, aside from a few moments on the road, which every comedian has. Like, well, every joke is,
let's
like,
be clear. Let's be clear. None of his jokes. None of his jokes were not funny. None of his jokes were not funny. Some of the jokes. The question is there enough context for the audience that's not necessarily as enlightened to know that he's making fun of himself? Because I mean, we all think that he actually gets, which is what was problematic with us. We think that he gets that a lot of what he's saying is wrong. And he acknowledges it in the work. He says, I didn't come here to be right. And so we get that. What we don't get is the strange bedfellows that he's making, that he's unabashedly making by being the advocate for un-PC.
But so was Mark Twain. Because when we think about Mark Twain from a historical context, we don't think about him as just being a writer or just being funny. And I think it's kind of wrong when someone like Dave Chappelle is pigeonholed in that arena. It's like, is it funny? Is it not funny? Is he offensive? Is he not offensive? When I think of things like The Great Conversation, I think of thinkers like Mark Twain. And I don't just think of Dave Chappelle as a comedian. I think of Dave Chappelle as a thinker, as a person who is creating a great conversation. So if you're looking at it as, did he say something that was wrong? No, but if you think of it as, did he bring up a topic that was really important because the nation has to have this conversation?
I mean, again, I don't want to I don't want to rehash what we did before. But we did say it is Throwback Thursday. What I don't want to do is I don't want to rehash, because, I mean, we did talk about the fact that, you know, the defense of people are saying or people are talking about, like, that's whenever you do that, don't defend that, because that's Fox News, right? Yeah. Fox News loves to say loves to say irresponsible shit and say people are saying, and it's mirrored by Trump in his press conferences saying people are saying I'm doing a great job.
I don't think it's the same thing to say this about this, because what I've always said is that the greatest comedians often lower themselves for the sake of the theme or the joke or the lesson overarching. And the thing is, especially in a couple of them, you don't really understand the full extent of what he's trying to say until you've watched an entire 90-minute to 2-hour.
I mean, it does have that effect. He's masterful. I mean, we definitely don't have to suck his dick anymore. I mean, he got the Mark Twain Award.
I mean, if we want to.
He is capable of doing incredibly sophisticated artistic things with a special, really profound. He's capable of incredible depth, the kind of depth that, I'm sorry, I'll hold it up to Carlin or Pryor or any of them. The winners, by the way, so here's a list of winners. First winner, Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you're talking about who his son is, like, Chappelle is his son.
Yes.
Chappelle is absolutely...
He's the next Dalai Lama.
He is the next step in evolution after, you know, Pryor. And everybody who I'm about to read in between Pryor and Chappelle, I think are, like, illegitimate, right? I think they're bastards. I think... Yes. I really do think the last greatest of all time was Richard Pryor. And everyone else was very good. Everyone else was exceptional. Everyone else was one of the greatest.
Who are these?
But I agree with you. I think Chappelle is the greatest. But yeah, on the list, Jonathan Winters, who's a genius, won it in 99. In 2000, Carl Reiner, genius, won it in 2000. Whoopi Goldberg won it in 01.
Whoopi Goldberg won
it? We forget about her style and her one woman shows. Her comedy specials were fucking amazing, and she was breaching topics of, you know, of our culture, of the cookout. Before she became a fucking talk show lady.
God.
Before she became Guinan. She was amazing. Hey, so she had an...
God lives forever.
Before Sister Act, right? before that stuff, before she, you could say, sold out, she was doing amazing, amazing shit. One could say her career is... her career as a genius comedian was short. Mm. Remember, it was her, Billy Crystal, and... what's his name? He committed suicide because he got Parkinson's.
Oh.
And he talks like this. Whoa. And he's Mork and Mindy. How am I forgetting his name?
Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. Remember, those were the three, you know, the three kings, the three, like, leaders of comedy for the entire 80s.
I think Whoopi has plenty of time to get back to that because Elorians actually live for, like, 1,000 years.
Yeah, no one knows how old she is. She's going to be on Picard, by the way. We know that.
Andy with the Star Trek reference.
Bob Newhart won it in 2002. You know, I'm not going to, you know, quibble about that. Lily Tomlin in 03. I don't know, man. I just don't know enough of her work.
I don't remember any
of it. I think as a comedic actress, I think she's one of the best of all time.
She's great, but genius. Lorne Michaels, you can't quibble with that.
You can't quibble, yeah. Yeah. Lorne Michaels, yeah.
Steve Martin, amazing. But I think, I don't know, you know, I mean, I don't know. He was always very slapstick for me. Mm. He became a great actor and a great comedic actor.
I just think about his clothes, but though. I didn't like it.
I don't know.
I didn't like his pink pants.
Neil Simon, I mean, I don't know. Neil Simon's not my guy, but whatever. Billy Crystal, definitely.
Billy just giving these out to anybody.
George Carlin, definitely.
George Carlin,
Bill Cosby got it in 2009.
Well, you know.
We talked about that. We have a whole. Yeah. We have a whole podcast on that. We don't need to TBT that part. I mean, yeah, he was a motherfucking genius. Okay. Also raped a bunch of women over the course of 50 years. But anyway.
The guy who invented chemical warfare.
Yeah. His career in rape was his career in rape was about as long as his career in comedy, which was over 50 years.
But I mean, I really liked watching the special, but generally, I'm not a huge fan of award shows and awards anymore because I just feel like they just set up a really...
I'm not done with the list, though.
Yeah, yeah, but the list is...
Did you just quote Kanye?
Tina Fey in 2010, Will Ferrell in 11, Ellen DeGeneres in 12, Carol Burnett in 13.
I think Carol Burnett definitely should
be. Jay Leno in 14?
Jay Leno shouldn't win an award for anything other than mediocrity.
He's so mediocre. Eddie Murphy in 15. He should have won it like 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
Bill Murray in 16, of course. Mm-hmm. David Letterman in 17, of course. Julia Louis-Dreyfus in 18. I think she's amazing. And her career is insanely long. Remember, she's Elaine. She's Veep. She's old Christine. She's Veep is.
I never watched Veep, so.
She went from, I mean, she's in terms of.
House on it. Oh my God, their dynamic is so.
In terms of the sitcom art form, she is, you know, up there.
She had, like, it was, I put a 22-minute clock on it and counted down, and they followed her as she ran around and crazy things happened to her.
What's yeah, that's that? Old Christine.
Old Christine, yeah, yeah, I thought so. Okay, yeah, I love that
show. The New Adventures of Old Christine. And Dave Chappelle wins it in 19. So what were your favorite parts? Let's suck a little dick and then talk about how we feel. What were your favorite parts?
I didn't know who Neil Brennan was. And he had
Get out of here.
Well, I mean, I saw, but I didn't know that he was a producer for the show. I've seen some of his new stand-up stuff, and I thought it was way funnier than
Neil Brennan was
expected based on looking at the poster on it. I was like, that guy can't be funny. And then I saw it, it was great, and I had no idea who he was.
You saw Three Mics?
Yeah.
Yeah,
saw
see?
Three Mics.
Yeah, of course you would identify with Three Mics. You have some of the same issues as Neil Brennan.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought also
but I thought it was an amazing together. I thought it was an amazing work.
I love the way that after when you see all the different people talking, you start seeing the connections that you didn't necessarily know were connected to them then.
Yeah.
You start seeing like the it's like understanding how all the you know, beings are connected by.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like really. Q-Tip talking about hanging out with him in 2012, and I'm sorry, in 1992.
Yep. Actually, like, my favorite story was the Aziz Ansari story,
the
mushroom story. Honestly, I think it's also probably one of the ones I've related to the most too, because as artists, you kind of have to live in all these different time zones. Where you're constantly reflecting on the past and you're always in the present, but I feel like artists are constantly hyper aware of their own biopics or their own mortality. So you're always thinking about the future and the idea that Dave Chappelle is always thinking in these like grand terms. And he's just like, do you want to remember this night as the night that you got you went on shrooms with Dave Chappelle or the night that you went home and got some sleep?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, weird connections, Bradley Cooper in there.
Random.
Just really weird connections. They showed Chance every like 2 seconds.
That was weird.
In his response, it was weird.
I wasn't sure why.
Even though I did love Chance, like,
I was glad to finally standing see what his
the
wife
Stevie
looked like.
Vocal on, yeah, and his kids, who the boys look really Asian and only the daughter looks black.
Yeah, and uninterested and unimpressed.
She was unimpressed about the whole thing.
So it's like I would imagine. As a little
girl.
Yeah.
I was actually endeared to his wife.
Yeah.
You could tell she was dope. She was down.
I just
she was
can't
with
imagine
it.
What like being married to Dave Chappelle because like you, she seems like a tough
I think cookie. You can.
Yeah.
I think you can. I think he showed us enough about what he's like. I think it's just, you know, hold on for the ride, man. All of his friends are like that. Yeah, he's mad spontaneous. That's the great stuff that kind of came out because we got behind the scenes. That's the cool thing.
Yeah, we got to see behind the
scenes of his thing. And it doesn't demystify his genius.
No.
Because everyone in that thing was equally mystified. And they all talked about how mystified they are about what he does. Well, honestly, everyone else is playing checkers and he's playing chess.
And it's universal. It's kind of like how people have print stories. When, right. Like, some people in this world are truly great. And by great, I mean not just, like, good, but grand. They're always very grand. They're always thinking really big thoughts and having really big moments. And they're just epic in their bones.
I mean, you talk about his instrument. He's got such an amazing instrument. Part of it is how much he's conditioned us that we can just stand there and we're in the middle of a joke.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything.
Well, that's why I...
And he's just looking at us and we're like, there's a punch coming. And we're set up and we're psyched and we're ready to rock.
So I kicked her in the pussy.
As soon as he... But he didn't just... I kind of do what Eddie Murphy did when he sees people rapped. Eddie Murphy kind of went away. And he was weirded out by the fact that everyone was so... Everyone wanted to consume him. Mm, and Eddie Murphy became like an agoraphobic.
I mean, you can't blame him.
Fame is really weird. And Dave went to Africa, took 12 years off. Took 12 years
that
off.
Takes some balls as an artist.
And he came back and it's like he figured it out. He put it, he weighed it in. Got acclimated, and now he is way more in control of his whole thing, and he knows his instrument. He knows how to pull and push the audience in different ways. I mean, his mastery is what makes me upset at him for not being better, not being responsible, not being more responsible.
I didn't talk on that episode. I still don't really agree with the idea that making jokes that give credence to some little bit more conservative than we're expecting from him opinions necessarily causes the level of harm that the reaction came to. You know, I love Jip Jack, absolutely beautiful two spirits. Both spirits are beautiful and brilliant. But I think when it hurts you, you might not necessarily understand that there's a certain amount of perspective that the hurt should give you in reflection, and every joke at someone's expense hurts a little. And I do think that I've noticed with like people who get like dramatic weight loss surgery and everything.
Wow, this is a
they point. Often don't love themselves anymore afterwards, and they like
wherever like, you go there. Wherever you go, there you are.
Exactly, and I think that when you get a sex change operation too young, you go through the same thing that somebody who gets dramatic plastic surgery does, where, like, if you don't figure out how to love yourself first, this isn't going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, like, men, the older in their life, like the Wachowskis are, you know, they knew absolutely for damn sure this is what they wanted to do, and they look happy as shit.
Well, I think what you're getting at is that the trans conversation is really difficult on a lot of levels, and it's... Mm-hmm. And I think what you're talking about is, as far as humans, I think it's really important for us to live in a world that is accepting of us no matter what phase we're in. So say, for example, you do feel like a woman inside, but maybe you can't afford plastic surgery and you can't afford the chin shaving and the whatever. You should still be able to be who you are in whatever body that yes. you are in.
Regardless of how people view you, regardless, you should still be able to be who
you should be able to. Yeah. But that's a really tough conversation to have without crossing the line.
Especially
and it
when
coming
people
off,
are beating you up.
I will not presume to talk for Jip Jack, because only Jip Jack could talk for Jip Jack. But he did. He was
absolutely agree with everything.
He was absolutely. He was at the same time he viewed him as funny. At the same time, he viewed him as funny, and he viewed those jokes as funny, mm-hmm. even the jokes he found problematic.
Mm-hmm.
He did think there was a that Dave could do better to elevate his audience. And he's so masterful that he wouldn't be giving back any laughs. He could make the special as funny. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that kind of came up in the special in the Kennedy Honors is that sometimes Dave doesn't fucking want to. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't, sometimes he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And sometimes he's like, I mean, being a genius is tiring. Sometimes he just kind of goes, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. It feels like capitulation. It feels like whatever. And, you know, no one's perfect, but he's the greatest.
I just sympathize for his declaration of his right to be imperfect, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think there's a lot of really fucking far from perfect motherfuckers who want to take umbrage under his declaration of independence from being perfect. But
because all the people that are trying to be Dave Chappelle, they're the people I think. But I digress. End up being super offensive.
I think there is. I mean, there's the other huge cultural thing that came down since we've all been locked down is Tiger King.
Yeah.
I mean, the memes are amazing. The memes are great. If you haven't seen the show, okay. So it is triggering. And if you're like a animal rights activist, then you're not going to get what everyone else thinks is funny. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are triggered by it and don't think it's funny. That happens.
Yeah.
The rest of humanity thinks it's the most amazing thing they've ever seen.
I think it can be triggering and funny. I found shit in it triggering. And I got up and walked out of the room a couple times, and I came back, and I was glued back to the
television. It starts motherfucking crazy. And then you go, no way this can keep this up.
Yeah.
And then it gets crazier.
Yeah.
Then some bitch gets her arm chopped. I'm sorry, some dude gets his arm, you know, eaten and comes back to work 5 days later.
Because and you're like, get the fuck out of here. Press for the Tiger King.
Then there's murders and orgies and a guy who named himself an Indian name, Bhagavad Ansel or whatever.
And then there's two straight men who polyamorously married another dude.
For meth and tigers makes straight men gay. It's amazing. There's just so many things. I don't think...
I don't know if these people can complain. Make me want to do meth less or more because I'm. Because
people can complain about this show and that it is like watching a train wreck, and then we're all laughing at these people and not laughing with them. And there's plenty of good criticisms of it. However, no one can watch this show and tell me that they did not learn some shit. They did not learn about.
What do you mean by learn?
I think that white woman killed her husband, by the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Nothing better than a tiger cub to get ass. There is no aphrodisiac better than that.
I need that.
I watched The Wild and Wonderful Whites, which just now came out on, I believe it's, I don't know if it's Netflix or Amazon. That came out. Over 10 years ago, I watched it at Tribeca Film Festival. I think it was 2009 it came out in Tribeca Film Festival. And after watching The Wild and Wonderful Whites, I thought I had a handle on what white trash was. I thought I had it figured out. I thought I knew some things. And I've been to weddings in Arkansas. Like I've done a white trash tour of America. And I thought I'd done seen everything. And then Tiger King comes along and goes, you don't know shit.
I felt like it was a good microcosm of what America's become, because it was so random, but true.
Like Joe Exotic got 19% of the vote for governor of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Even though he's broke as shit.
19%. Yeah. If he wasn't one of those things, he might have won.
He might have won. He or if he was just like maybe had 10 more IQ points.
If he wasn't, like, he's almost pick like, one.
Functional.
Meth abusing, gay, redneck.
Polyamorous.
Polyamorous. Yeah, he married two people.
Yeah.
Like, in a friggin' public ceremony.
And still has time to be racist.
So, and they cut out most of the racism.
That's what I heard.
They cut out most of the racism. I mean...
His music videos are incredible, though.
It's just...
Oh, like, oh, by the way, he's lip-singing.
Oh, I know. It doesn't make them any less absolutely amazing to watch how insane those are. Like, he hired a double to look like the woman who's criticizing, sitting there feeding, like, fake human children.
He burned down his own...
Like, that level of hatred.
He burned down his own crocodiles. His own alligators.
To get rid of the
He burned his own place down. Like, he gave somebody $3,000, maybe, to kill that bitch Carol Baskin.
Well, you know what was funny was... How
that dirty bitch Carol Baskin.
How disturbed I was about his obsession with this woman. And
it was disturbing.
Until then you learn more and more about her.
Oh, yeah.
And then you didn't you find yourself hating her?
It's kind of justified. Yeah. It's between the two of them.
In episode two, you're like, that's a bit much. By episode four, you're like, yeah, we got to kill this bitch Carol Baskin. You are anti-hero rooting. No, by the end.
No, somebody was saying that it was, like, sexist because, you know, he's not worse than her. They're the same thing. Why do you hate her? And why are we picking her over him? And
I don't think the show picked her over him at all.
No, America.
It's everything.
I don't think America did.
This is sexist. You know? Every kind of wrong is in this thing.
Is in this thing, yeah.
Every kind of... there is, like, one good person in the whole show. And it's
the libertarian.
No, the dude who got his arm.
The one arm dude.
Yeah,
yeah.
The trans arm.
Yeah.
You know. So all right, that's enough of that. It's technically not right for TBT, but it's just like such a phenomenon that we could not help but cover it, but we didn't want to put it in a COVID. In the COVID episode, so that's why we're talking about it here. The last thing to TBT on is the inevitable end of the Bernie Sanders campaign.
Yeah, so it's
a lot of people got depressed.
Is it official? Like, is there any way he can run as an independent?
Look, they suspend their campaigns. So whenever anybody is out, they suspend their campaigns. Just in case some crazy shit happens.
Like Joe Biden has a murder ring that he concealed or something.
Just in case. Because day of, something can happen. I mean, not for nothing, Joe Biden was like hiding for like 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
I feel like he had COVID.
I think
he had COVID.
You know what? Having had COVID... 3 weeks is about that's the time.
He has
it's about
not
right.
Showed up at all for it.
And then he showed up to say no Medicare for all.
Wow!
All he did was show up to say no Medicare for all.
Yeah, he's
which
not
is like
he's not campaigned at all.
Ugh. Well, I mean, I think
so we're gonna lose this election.
I think what he was trying to do is look. All I could do is hurt myself here. When Bernie leaves, I'm gonna give him his wide berth. I'm going to say, let Bernie leave. I'm going to let Bernie leave. I'm going to let these people, grieve, which honestly is something that the Bernie people didn't let us do. Mm. The Warren people.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely not.
And by the way, mutual friends of our, Christine, Ratzelli, she called me on it. She was like, can you like give us like, a day? Can I get 24 hours? And I responded very honestly. I said, I gave you guys a news cycle. I gave you 12 hours. We in COVID.
Yeah, we've come so long since the Obama
we in COVID.
Campaign.
There is nothing to do. I sat looking at the screen wanting to needle you motherfuckers for the last 12 hours straight. I'm sorry. I waited till the next day. That's a day. I waited till the next day. And all I said was, by the way, I didn't say, fuck you, motherfucking burners. No.
I was about, by the way, I wasn't saying that stuff, but the vote blue, you know, or what was the thing? Vote blue in 2020 or.
I didn't say shit about Biden. I didn't mention his name.
Good.
I said anybody but Trump.
Oh, any, yeah, but still.
Which not, is, yes, which
let
is,
the Bernie people,
which
let
is
the
not Bernie semantics. It's not semantics. I'm not saying vote Biden. I'm saying anybody but Trump.
Okay, but it implies but Biden. I'm, right
it
now.
Implies Biden because Jill Stein's a crazy person and a Russian agent. But whoever's running is independent. I don't know if Linda.
But yeah, we didn't get time
her
to mourn.
Her album from
more.
The 90s, though, is like, it's like listening to like a meditation record that just pisses you off and keeps you from getting into the spirit every minute.
Who?
Jill Stein's album from the 90s from her progressive rock band.
Oh, man. It's great. I can't
by
do
great,
that.
I mean, it you just laugh hysterically through the entire thing.
Well, do you think that...
We've all had bad mixtapes.
Biden's, yeah. Do you think Biden's going to win? Or Biden can win?
First of all, one of the things that everybody should have learned by now through this crisis is... Everyone is full of shit. Okay? And no one knows what they're talking about.
Oh my God, you sound like me right now.
I know I do.
Oh my goodness.
This is awful. No, when they're talking about the future, when they're talking about the future and their variables they don't have, you know, a prediction is not worth shit. Now, if we know all the variables, then yeah, predictions are good.
I mean, I'm fine with predicting. You want to switch roles?
It's guessing, but it's just guessing. My guess is this.
Who's got the tarot cards?
You know, COVID is going to kill in the United States probably between 60 and 100,000 people that won't be on the voter rolls.
Oh, wow.
And of those 60 to 100, I think it's going to be pushed because it's a lot of POCs, but it's also a lot of poor white people, too,
and old people.
Which are Trump voters.
And so are old people who watch Fox News.
And there's a lot of old people. There's a lot of old people who... You know, that skews Trump. It also skews Biden, though, because old POCs are Biden. So I hope that, you know, the Bernie people don't take their ball and go home. I think they might.
They have before.
I think they might do it worse than they did before. And not for nothing, I'm 100% with them. On platform. However, I think their zealotry will not look good in history's rearview mirror. And I think what's going to go down here is this is where all the Biden people are going to Sanders people are going to hate me. I think in retrospect, I think it's clear that Bernie Sanders. And this was conventional wisdom before his first run. But Bernie Sanders is a flawed vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bernie Sanders can't get a certain amount of vote. He can't get safe Democrats. And not for nothing, safe Democrats make up half of the Democratic base. So if you're premised on someone who can't get safe Democrats, that's a false premise. That's a false premise. Mm-hmm. That not only loses once, it loses twice. And you take the thumb off the scale, and he loses worse than when the thumb was on the scale. Not for nothing, Sanders was never going to do it. And why? Because of the stigma on socialism. The socialism stigma is scary.
He's a Jew.
It scares people.
That's a big deal.
People who grew up, you know, Gen Xers and millennials grew up at the tail end of the Cold War, and we were indoctrinated with some Cold War shit. And that rinky-tinks in the back of your brain a little bit until finally you're making a call on politics, and you have to choose between someone who's got that scary thing.
Yeah, but now I feel like, I mean, with COVID-19, everyone's a socialist in a pandemic.
Yeah, but the vote's over.
Yeah.
But the flaw, and not for nothing, I resent the fact that I never get to fucking vote for president. Vote for the Democratic thing. And not the reforms that I want to see are there should be a lottery to see which state starts first.
Yeah.
I like that it's a season. I like that they have to go to states to to do it.
Or do it at the same time.
But what I don't like is the structural advantages of certain states. Mm-hmm. The structural advantage of certain white states. So structural advantage of certain rural white states.
Okay,
I resent that. I resent that. I really resent that. I really resent that New York. I really resent that New York never gets to pick the Democratic nominee.
Going at the same time is because they can't, like, they have to travel.
No, no, no. See, the same time has its own problem. If we do all of them at the same time, then A, you don't get a season to court votes to teach people to educate the electorate. A, you don't get that benefit. But B, why the hell would you ever go to Delaware if they were all at the same time?
No sales tax.
No, I mean, same. You spend your entire time, if they were all on the same day, you spend your entire time on the big states, and you never go to a small state. I get that. I'm against the Electoral College, but I get the idea that these people should have to campaign in every state. But the only way we know that they'll have to campaign in every state is if every run is different.
But remember, we do
like an NBA, like ping pong balls, and first pick, New York gets the first pick. Oh my God, New York gets the first pick. We finally get to fucking set the trend.
But when we talk about electability, when we talk about electability and things like that, it does favor the establishment as far as...
I know, but it's always going to...
Obama pulled ahead. And, you know, he had that momentum.
It's always going to favor the establishment. Always going to. Listen, I don't want. I think
the season also, like in the modern era, supports and enables the kill chain hacking premise.
Huh?
So the election. So no election is unhackable. But the fact that we're not even using paper votes anymore makes it really.
Oh, we're going to go back to. We're going to go. Integrity. We're going to go back to paper mad quick. Watch. But anyway.
Not quick enough.
Yeah. But anyway, so to wrap it up, I'm going to put in one last plug, but I'm like, maybe we should have all said, hey, guess what? Bernie's not great for a general run. He's not even great for a one-on-one run against a centrist. Let's throw our weight behind someone who calls themselves a capitalist, but still has almost the entirely same platform as Bernie Sanders. Honestly, I think I'm going to say it again, and I'm in the tank for Warren. But I think, and through this, she had two plans for COVID. Do you know this?
Yes.
She had two plans. She had a stimulus plan for COVID, and she had a health plan for COVID. Mm-hmm. Before anyone had any cogent thought about this, she had a legit plan for this. She was made for this. And we fucking fucked up. Liberals fucked up. Democrats fucked up. We fucked up. She was the best one. Whatever. Send the hate. I'll take it. I don't care.
Can I say one thing before we stop?
Yes.
I think there's this idea out there that there's people.
By the way, this is Andre Savage talking. He's only a contributor every now and then. He did speak very eloquently. And heartfelt in the last COVID one about what's happening to people in the gig economy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just wanted to, you know, put that context. It's me, Juancho de Medellin. It's Andre Savage and it's Diane Wah on this one. That's who you've been listening to. But we'll leave the last point. Yeah, so go ahead.
I've seen through many, many conventions and I'm not really supposed to talk about what's in most of them, but this I can. There's an idea being thrown around all over the place, even by people who I generally think to be on the next level of reasonable mindset, like the JDC, shout out, that there's this idea that people who work behind the scenes, you know, that have been there for administration after administration, are always going to be there. You have to just deal with it. And people like, finger quotes, Elizabeth Warren won't play ball with them, so we shouldn't vote for her. And like, all that does is it creates this idea that, you know, you can't make change. If you elect somebody who's different, then the people behind the scenes eventually have to go away because the people keep putting people in charge who are going to make differences. And it all it does is it maintains the status quo. And I think it's a manipulative premise. that to scare people, that we can't have social change. We can't elect somebody because she just destroyed everybody in the debates. She wiped the floor with everybody with her debate skills and her points.
She was so much better than everybody.
And the next person says, like, well, she didn't wipe the floor with everybody because she didn't even go after Bernie. I'm like,
why does she have to go after Bernie?
Yeah.
She shouldn't go after Bernie if she agrees with almost everything he said. They talked about
Bernie didn't fuck up.
Yeah.
That's why she didn't go for him.
And what they actually did talk about was actually just kind of a social thing about sexism. And you know what?
My criticism of Bernie is not for anything he said or not for anything he did. My criticism of Bernie is that he's a flawed vehicle. Mm-hmm. He is the best man who's ever run for president of the United States. I believe that. He also was never going to win the nomination. And who knows if he would have beat Trump. I mean, you know, it's one of those things you never know. But he's never going to win the nomination. Don't place all your hopes behind a flawed vehicle. The bottom line is, this is a sales job. This is a sales job. And not for nothing, pick a guy, you know, pick someone who can fucking sell the agenda. And not for nothing, he sells the agenda who are smart enough to look past the flawed vehicle. You're an asshole if you think that most of America can look past the flawed vehicle. And guess what? Proof is in the pudding. You know, we found out. Hey, guess what? Your vehicle is flawed. Bernie Sanders was never going to win. And you should have seen that. And you should have picked somebody who could put your platform forward. And that was Elizabeth Warren. Hate me all you want. And I will bring you on the show.
I think she's the best woman ever to be in American politics.
So we'll definitely tangle with you burners. We'll tangle with you burners when we do our special on the general. There should be at least one. So we'll tangle with you guys in the future. We hope you enjoyed this extra light TBT. We hope you enjoyed this. We hope you're doing good. We hope you're safe. We hope the curve starts bending. The angle doesn't look great right now. You're seeing places like Washington and New York finally start to curve. And other places are blowing up. And other places are fucking up. And they're all going to go through what New York has gone through in the past couple weeks. If you've been here, if you've heard from people, if you heard from EMTs and doctors and nurses, and it's terrible. It's really terrible. So to the extent that you can avoid making it harder for your state, your city, your neighborhood, to the extent that you can avoid that, please do, man, because us here living in New York, it's been rough. It's been real bad. And, you know, you heard about it in our COVID-19 pod that we released last week. So this is our TBT. Don't go out in the streets. Stay home and be about shit.